The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh, yeah. Lots of NFL action to talk about today. Lots of NFL topics. But number one on my list would be Joe Judge. Did you hear what the Giants coach had to say about Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Play it for him, please.
To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling practice is going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay? To tell them, please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving. Please avoid Christmas gatherings. We know it's your wife's birthday. Let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
All I gotta say, fellas, is I've been a Giants fan since I was a baby, watching them religiously. I never thought I could love someone as much as Bill Parcells or Tom Coughlin, but this Joe Judge guy, looking like the real deal. Stephen A. Smith, Marcus Spears, Happy New Year. I haven't seen you since. Max Kellerman, good to see you all. Everybody looking dapper. Are we ready to do this?
Molly, what? I'm sorry to interrupt. First of all, Happy New Year again. It's really, really good to see my man Swag Goo. I just want to know, Max, what the hell is he doing with those space cadet glasses on right there? I mean, don't they look like I don't know. Don't those glasses look like something straight out of the Jetsons from years ago? I'm just wondering. I'm just asking. That's some space cadet glasses. What's going on?
I wish I could see y'all, but I had to transition from get up and didn't have time to put my return. But I'm sure both of y'all look ridiculous, except Molly.
There we go. All right.
Thank you, Marcus. Marcus, the frames are tight. They just don't understand it yet. They'll catch on.
Appreciate
it,
Molly.
Let's get this, guys. Joe Judge. Oh, my goodness. Would you relax, Mr. Smith? Joe Judge slamming Doug Peterson and the Eagles for essentially tanking the game versus Washington to get a better draft pick, referring to this as disrespecting the game. Max, this is serious. How do you think Judge's comments make the Eagles look?
Molly, there's a reason that you said love someone like love a coach the way I love Bill Parcells. Right? There's a reason you mentioned Coughlin. The Giants have had a lot of good coaches. But you picked those two because they're Super Bowl champions. Let me ask you guys something. Mm-hmm. If you hear what Joe Judge said, really about Doug Peterson, right? He doesn't have to drop his name. We know what he's talking about. Who would you say is the rookie head coach and who was the Super Bowl champion? I can't remember a time in my life that maybe it's happened, but I couldn't recall any thinking about this question for the show today. I can't recall any head coach in any major sport talking about another head coach like that, particularly in the division, a divisional rival. But then on top of that, if someone were to talk like that, you would think they would have the equity built in. They would have the gravitas of having won a championship, not been in their first year. And certainly, if they were in their first year, the guy they're talking about wouldn't be a Super Bowl winner. But in fact, what this demonstrates, when a rookie head coach can talk about a Super Bowl winner like that in the division, and the whole world is like, that's exactly right. What that means is it's time for the Super Bowl champion coach to go and the GM. And I've been saying this for quite a while now, after the whole Carson Wentz debacle. This is the final straw. But even had nothing occurred before this, this would be enough to strongly consider it. Guys, The reporting is the coaches and the players were stunned by the move. The Eagles coaches and players, let alone the rest of the world watching that game, stunned by the move. If that head coach and that GM are still in place in the beginning of next season, how are you going to keep that locker room? Who's going to play for them? What this says about the Eagles is they are in full rebuild mode. It should have started the following morning. Following morning, it should have already happened. But they should be in full rebuild mode by this upcoming season. Guys, the only question is, do you believe Jalen Hurts can be the answer? Do you have a franchise quarterback with that guy you took in the second round? And that's what makes the move even more ridiculous. You want to see if your third stringer can do it? How about finding out if the guy you believe in can win a game on primetime like that, shorthanded? That's what you really needed to find out. So, yeah, they are in. They have their quarterback in Jalen Hurts. Maybe they believe they do. Maybe they actually do. But from the top down, they got to rebuild this thing.
Oh, shut up. I mean, please. I just asked the Max to go get me some tissue, okay? I mean, let me just wipe my eyes right now with that soliloquy. First Joe Judge, and then you just sit up there and blow your head. I'll just stop it, okay? This is much ado, but I'm annoyed right now. And here's the reason why. We understand that the Eagles have had an awful, god-awful season. We get it. We understand it. We understand that, guess what? Doug Peterson, you're lying through your damn teeth talking about you were trying to win the game. You weren't trying to win the damn game. Look at who didn't play the game, for crying out loud, even before you took Jalen Hurts out to start off the fourth quarter and bring in Sudfield with his scrub self. We get all of that. But here's the thing. I don't want to hear this from Joe Judge, and I'm a fan of Joe Judge. Absolute fan. I was the one raving about him all season long. I told you this weeks ago, Molly. I said, this dude is really, really impressive. We know he comes from the Nick Saban tree as a special teams assistant with Alabama. He ultimately got that same position at New England under Bill Belichick. We get him. He's no nonsense. He dots his I's. He crosses his T's. The team plays hard. They improved every week. Props to him. But now it's time to stop this, okay? Prior to this Sunday, you lost three in a row. You had control of your own destiny. What is it? Going into December 13th, they were 5-7 in first place. I saw Molly getting excited. I saw Max getting excited. We started talking about Big Blue. And then what happens? They
Damn
lose
right.
to Arizona. They lose to Cleveland. They lose to Baltimore.
Quarterback got
and
hurt.
Then three of those guys, I listen to you, zip it. It's my turn, okay? You got 7, 6, and 13 points. That's a grand total of 26 points in 3 weeks after you were in first place. I'm going to roll with my brother, the playmaker, who went on the air somewhere yesterday and said he don't want to hear it. You had 16 weeks to validate your position, take care of yourself, and you were in control of your own destiny after week 12, and you blew it where you needed to rely on somebody within your division to come and save the day. It's one thing for you, Max Kellerman, to talk about the Eagles. It's another thing entirely to act like Joe Judge's animosity and his ire is justified. Look the hell in the mirror and be mad at your damn self for not getting the job done when you had an opportunity to do it. If you're just talking about Doug Peterson, hold on, Molly. If you're just talking about Doug Peterson, I get it. But to sit up here, if you're Joe Judge, and to talk about him like you waving pom-poms and stuff like that. They lost three of their last four games. That's on him.
Quarterback
injury. You're being hypocritical. I know Max wants to get in here, but you got on Max yesterday about the whole tanking thing and bringing up the 76ers, and now you're acting like it's fine that Philly just mailed it in. And it's not okay. It is disrespecting the game, Stephen A.
Well, first of all, thank you, Molly. If you want to join this debate, I'm more than happy to address you. I am not being hypocritical.
Hold on, counterpoint.
Listen, you brought up a point. I'm answering you, Molly. I'm coming right at you. This is me talking to Molly, the lovely Molly Cameron Rose. You are wrong because I am not hypocritical, not in the slightest. When me talking about Max tanking, I'm not saying it's all right what Philadelphia did. I am saying I don't want to hear from Joe Judge about it. I didn't sit up there and say it's okay for Philadelphia to do what they did. I'm saying Joe Judge talking about it after you enter the game losing three straight.
Joe Judge is talking about the integrity of the game.
That's on you, Joe Judge.
Yeah, you should complain,
but not him.
And y'all let me know when I can go.
Go ahead.
That last comment by you, Max, the integrity of the game, what is that? Tell me what that is in this season. Because, look, we Joe Judge is only talking about this because it's the Eagles. If it was the Ravens or the Chiefs or the Browns or anybody else outside of that division, Joe Judge wouldn't have had that same energy towards it because it was about them winning to get in the playoffs. That's the bottom line. He wouldn't have said nothing about it if another team did it. And integrity of the game, this is the part that's driving me crazy. The integrity of the game piece of it. Because to me, like, the integrity of the game, when you look at this season in totality, was already in flux. When you start thinking about the things that transpired. Denver played a week without a quarterback on their roster. If the integrity of the game was so important, wouldn't the NFL just say, hey, we're not going to allow this game to be played? When we had all of the COVID protocol stuff with the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens, and people were talking about canceling the game. Max, you sat on this show before the season started and said the NFL ain't going to be able to finish. They shouldn't even be playing because of the integrity of the game. So Joe Judge comes up and says the integrity of the game is under attack because Doug Peterson plays Suffield is a bit much, Max. That's a bit much. For all Joe right, look, Judge to say the integrity Marcus, of the Marcus, game was compromised when Carson Wentz wasn't even dressed out for the game.
You and I can disagree about stuff, and we often do. But this is the weakest point I've heard you argue. Are you actually saying that because we're in a pandemic and we have to accept things aren't going to be perfect, that a coach making a decision like that is okay? Let me be very clear what I mean about integrity of the game. That game was flexed to primetime because it had playoff implications. The Eagles had a chance to play spoiler to Washington. The team they were playing, it's not just because I'm a Giants fan. If this were the Jets and it was the last week of the season and they had a chance to get Trevor Lawrence and all hope was lost and it had no playoff implications, I get it. Then you and I'd be on the same side. Don't tell me about that. Of course you want to get the number one pick. What do they have to play for? They're giving a guy a look. This wasn't that. They were in the game in the fourth quarter. I'm not even talking about going for it on fourth down and not kicking a field goal. I say go for it. Don't worry about the negative outcome. I'm talking about taking out your only chance to win the game for some BS excuse that you want to give the third stringer a look when, in fact, what you need to do is give the second stringer more of a look because he's the starter next year. Marcus,
Max.
The coach making that decision is what Joe Judge was talking about. Joe Judge brought up the fact that people had to make all these sacrifices in the pandemic, including understanding things won't be perfect. The team may not play with a quarterback. Another team get their schedule messed with. All that stuff. The point is you can't help that. Those are the things you have to do. So the least we can ask of coaches is that they remain competitive when something is on the line for the NFL. That's the integrity of the game.
How do you think Joe Judge can decipher that? Like, I understand what you're saying. That's all for Philly to take care of. That's the point. The point is Joe Judge don't need to be speaking on that.
That's right.
What the bottom line is.
That's
when you start
point.
Talking about integrity, we can have a discussion. We can have a, I said it too, Stephen A., about Doug Peterson, and he wasn't trying to win a damn game. We could kill, if y'all want to turn this into a kill
Marcus,
Doug Peterson for his
Marcus,
decision-making,
why can't he?
I'm
why can't he say anything if it's wrong? Why can't he speak up if it's wrong? And you're saying it's wrong, and it is disrespecting
well,
the game. Why can't
that.
Joe Judge voice that?
Molly, Joe Judge is speaking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Think about his incentive for the Philadelphia Eagles winning. All right, I made
of
my
course.
Point saying he wouldn't have commented on this if it didn't have anything to do with, if it had anything to do with other teams in the NFL, he wouldn't have
Wait,
said
Marcus.
Anything. Integrity of the
A,
league
Marcus.
Wouldn't have came into play.
Guys, do you think that the coach of the team whose playoff fortunes were squashed by the decision of Peterson is not going to be asked about that,
his
that
playoff,
choice?
His
of course Joe Judge is going to be asked about it. What is he
played.
Supposed to say about it? What is Joe Judge supposed to say, comment about Peterson's decision? Nothing? Right, but that's my point. Normally, the other coach wouldn't comment, but this was so egregious that even though the other coach is a Super Bowl winner and a divisional rival, and Joe Judge is a rookie head coach, Joe Judge has standing to say what he said.
Listen, what I'm saying to you is that he does not, because week 12, we came on the air. We didn't have off until Christmas, if I remember correctly. Okay, matter of fact, we worked on Christmas Day. As of December 6th, the Giants had beaten Seattle 17-12. Their record was 5-7. They were in first place. Molly was smiling. Max was waving the blue and white pom-poms, talking about Big Blue and a playoff berth, controlling their own destiny. And they not only proceeded to lose three straight when they were in complete control of their own destiny, but they scored a combined 26 points in three games. When you have that level of control and you flop coming into the last week, you don't then turn around and complain about somebody else not winning for you when you lost the three previous weeks.
What are you talking about?
You don't do that.
What are you talking about, 23 points? Their offense is 26. So awesome, Jason Garrett's up for the L.A. Chargers job.
Mm-hmm. And you're joking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you love Jason Garrett.
Because you know how foolhardy that is. Yes.
All right, let me ask you this. Okay, Stephen A., let me come to you on this.
Go ahead, Molly.
Y'all hear coaching this feeling.
Let's move this forward. All right, let's focus on Philly here. Stephen A., what do you think Philly should do at this point? Because obviously they have this controversy. They have the quarterback situation. Where do they go from here?
I think it's a shameful situation, no question about it. But I do think that when you're 3 years removed from winning a damn Super Bowl or something most almost everybody else is aspiring to accomplish, you just won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. It is entirely plausible that Doug Peterson could go in there and say, this is on me. This was an awful year, okay? We're going to make the necessary changes and we're going to move forward. And if I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I give him an opportunity to do that because he's already shown me he could get the job done. They've been to the playoffs the previous 3 years. They won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. This is the first time he's missed the playoffs in 4 years. All right? And most of it, according to Max, was because of the play of Carson Wentz, not the coaching of Doug Peterson. So Doug Peterson had a very bad and embarrassing week. It was obviously a very bad season, but according to Max, it was because of Carson Wentz, his hard-headedness, his unwillingness to listen, his unwillingness to be coachable, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if all of that is true, are we going to sit here with a straight face and say that a Super Bowl champion, 3 years removed from being a Super Bowl champion and going to the playoffs the last 3 years, and this is the first time he's missed the playoffs in 4 years, we're going to just sit up there and say, you know what? We don't want you. Goodbye. Get the hell up out of here. We want nothing to do with you. I think that's a bit excessive. I don't think Doug Peterson deserves that. I think he deserves the opportunity to come back and to make amends for an obvious mishap that transpired this weekend.
Well, you're pointing out the fact that Doug Peterson's an excellent coach. I agree. I think Doug Peterson can really coach. I think Carson Wentz was the issue, and you saw no matter any other quarterback that Peterson inserted and just ran his offense, whatever he wanted them to do, did very well. That's different than saying he should remain in this job. That's a different thing. Howie Roseman, first of all, let's start with the GM, hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler in 5 years. 5 years. And yet Peterson was on board with tanking, in my opinion, in order to move from 9-6. But he passed up on DK Metcalf, and he passed up on better receivers for worse receivers. He's better off drafting 9 than 6. Maybe a good player will fall to him, and he doesn't have to choose one of a lesser player instead.
So he's excellent, but should still be
fine. Roseman has not done the job. And Peterson, based on what he did yesterday, you're not going to keep a locker room next year. You listen to Jason Kelsey.
Please.
It's the December 19th media availability. Google it. I highly recommend it. It's worth your time. Listen to what Jason Kelsey says. If I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I have to send a message to the locker room. Even if the coach and the GM don't get it, I do. You gotta tear this down and start again. You're right about your assessment of Peterson being a good coach. I agree with that. Not the right coach for this job right now.
This is such a horrible conversation. Like, your resume determines whether you keep a job or not. Yes. And for the most part, Doug Peterson's resume in the last 4 years is as good as anybody's in the league. When you start having a conversation about what coaches should go and not go. We talked about a hobbled team last year making the playoffs in the last week of the season, beating the Dallas Cowboys. Like, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And I know how important coaching is in the NFL. I know how much how important coaching is in college football. But Nick Saban ain't the greatest coach of all time in football without the players. Go look at the list of names that he had the opportunity to coach. This is not rocket science. Doug Peterson is a good coach, had a bad year. He can get the locker room back because he won a Super Bowl with a lot of those guys that were in the locker room. And they'll be fine moving forward if they get the players and surround him with people that can make plays. Bottom line, like this, that's what he's done for the majority of his time in Philly. So having a conversation based off this year and the locker room and all the things that transpired with Carson Wentz. And two, another thing people fail to mention when they throw that point out there, half of this damn locker room going to be gone anyway. It's about to be a redo anyway of this football team. So I get it. I understand it. Like, I'm with you, Max. If there is no shadow of a doubt that Doug Peterson can't come back and get this locker room and get guys bought in and win, you got to move on if players ain't going to follow the coach. But I don't think that's the case. I really don't think that's the case, because Doug Peterson can go in front of a team and say, guys, look what we've done. Look what we've accomplished. Look what I've been able to accomplish as a head coach. Believe in me, and we can move forward and be a good football team.
And by the way, Molly, Max, Marcus, are we absolutely positively sure that Jeffrey Lurie did not sign off on this? We don't know that.
No, that's, yeah.
Like, we don't know that.
Or that, yeah, if Doug Peterson was given marching orders, that's something else.
Doug Peterson owned it, but
That's a possibility.
Yeah, he ain't going to tell on his owner.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This past Friday, fans of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields witnessed a scoring barrage. 77 points in Ohio State's 49-28 Sugar Bowl win in the college football playoff semifinal. Fields throwing for 6 TDs while Lawrence threw 20 more passes with just 2 touchdowns. As of December 17th, Mel Kiper Jr., our draft guru, his top 25 prospects were as follows. You can take a look right there, but I want to focus on Trevor Lawrence at 1 and Justin Fields at 3. On that note, we bring in my guy, Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, so great to see you. Happy New Year. I hope you and the family had a wonderful day, wonderful holidays. Before we jump into this draft, which I'm very excited to get into, I want to get your thoughts on the last conversation we had, because it got pretty heated. What did you think of this whole Giants-Philly situation and how it all played out?
Just watching it, it was kind of mind-boggling to watch things that were going on there. At the end of the third quarter, you had a fourth and goal from the five. You don't kick the field goal there, a tie game 17-17, where points are hard to come by. You got to play the momentum. You got to have a feel for the game. And Max was talking during the break, well, you don't want to play scared. Play smart. It's not playing scared. You're playing smart. You get that game 17-17. Boy, now all of them things are going to fall your way. And then you pull Jalen Hurts when you're trying to evaluate your young quarterback. Let him finish. Let him right the ship. We saw Patrick Mahomes struggle for almost, what, 3.5 quarters, then light it up in the last 7-8 minutes and get MVP. Quarterbacks want the opportunity to start and finish. Jalen Hurts had a right to finish that game. What good is it putting Nate Sudfeld out there? He has no future with this team in terms of being a starting quarterback with the Philadelphia Eagles. So for me, on a lot of levels, there are a lot of things going wrong there that, like I say, Doug Peterson has to answer to if I'm the owner after that game was over.
Hey, real quick, guys, I would say this. We don't need to get bogged down in the decision to go for it on fourth. I did not mind that at all. I'm a Giants fan, so I want them to win. But I 100% agree with you about Hurts. The reason the Sudfeld argument doesn't hold water is because what you need to evaluate is your second-round quarterback, because Wentz ain't the guy. So going forward, do you need to look for a quarterback, or do you have one in Hurts? And one of the things is primetime game, playoff implications for the division, down 3 points, fourth quarter, the trend of your game is going down. Can you get it together and win the thing? That's what you want to find out. It was outrageous.
Wentz is the guy. I disagree. I think Wentz is the guy. Whether they believe it or not, Wentz should be the guy. Wentz has proven to be a heck of a quarterback. People act like Wentz has never done anything in the NFL. Give me a break. So, again, surround the guy with players, keep everybody healthy, and Wentz is the guy. But whatever they decide to do is their decision. But in my opinion, Wentz should be the quarterback of this football team.
Mel Kiper Jr., always good to see you, buddy. Happy New Year. I just want to make sure that you are aware. The person who forgot that Carson Wentz ever did anything in the NFL would happen to be Max Keller. We can move on.
All right, I'm going to pick it up here. All right, Mel Kiper Jr., talk to me about this, sir. The number one spot, are you sold that it's Trevor Lawrence and not Justin Fields with how he's been playing?
1,000,000%, Molly. No, it's not even worth talking about. Let's not waste time on that.
Tell me, why are you sure Trevor Lawrence isn't one?
The body of work. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is lock stock, the number one guy. Nobody's even close. So it's right now him. You know, Justin Fields is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL, we hope. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a spectacular quarterback in the NFL for a lot of reasons. But that decision, I think, has already been made. The Jaguars are fortunate to be number one over the Jets. You take the guy that everybody wanted, that everybody was hoping, all events trying to get the number one pick to get Trevor Lawrence. Works out that that's the Jaguars' major need. Whether Urban Meyer's a coach, whoever becomes the coach of the Jaguars with all those draft picks, 7 in the first 4 rounds, in addition to Trevor Lawrence at number one. It's Trevor Lawrence. Like I say, this is like a secretariat and the rest of the horses in that race, the Triple Crown.
Mel, for so many folks out there who haven't watched these guys play, like you say, it's not worth talking about, but I'd really appreciate you illuminating why that is.
Sure.
Break down what each quarterback brings to the table, because you got folks with the Jets at number two, and they're like, okay, well, you know what? We don't get Trevor Lawrence. Hell, we can get Justin Fields. This dude could be special. Talk to us about the potential for these, you know, just highlight for us the difference between these quarterbacks, since you said they're miles apart in your eyes.
All right, Trevor Lawrence, Stephen A., would be in the John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. You lock them in, you don't debate it, okay? You lock them in, you don't debate it. Justin Fields going into this year, I thought would be right there as kind of 1 and 1A, but it was going to be Trevor, but it was going to be Justin Fields, a solid number two, but not that far away. The Indiana game, the Northwestern game, certainly hurt in the evaluation of Justin Fields. He didn't play well. He didn't look like the same quarterback. Now, I know all the missed time, and it's a COVID year. You know, you think about Trey Sermon evolved late in the year as the main big-time running back, so a lot of things came together. He didn't have Chris Olave against Northwestern, but I think when you look at Justin Fields now, you say, is he going to be a New York Jet? I say no. Sam Darnold has had a higher grade coming out of USC than Justin Fields will have this year. That's what I go by when I make decisions like this. So I would say if I'm the New York Jets, stay with Sam Darnold, trade the second pick to Cincinnati if they want to get Penei Sewell, tackle from Oregon, or somebody else, Atlanta, Detroit, New England want to move up to get Justin Fields, let him go up there and get that second pick, or you just sit there and take Penei Sewell. But I think Sam Darnold is the quarterback moving forward right now for the New York Jets.
Hey, Mel, could you go into that about Justin Fields a little bit more? Because the kind of sure. work that you do evaluating and projecting, you know, NFL kind of level is tough because the sample sizes are so small. So if you point to two games with Justin Fields, you're probably talking about a half a dozen decisions or moments in each game upon which you're basing your – what was it in those two games that you saw about Justin Fields that you said, wait a minute, this is not 1A, this is 2 or 3 or 4 or something like that?
It was the games in their entirety, Max. It was some inaccuracy, some not a feel in the pocket for pressure and that, you know, the intuitive quality you look for. You know, something was missing. And I can say, boy, this isn't the Justin Fields that I thought Max was going to be right there with Trevor Lawrence. Keep in mind, they were 1A coming out of high school in Georgia. They were right there. It was kind of debate who was the best quarterback coming out of high school. Was it Justin Fields? Was it Trevor? But right now, because of the body of work, and you say, okay, did you have any hiccups? Trevor Lawrence didn't have many of those. And keep in mind, in that game against Ohio State, Clemson didn't get it done in the trenches. The offensive line, where they had to replace four starters from last year, didn't get it done. And the defensive line didn't get it done. So that was an in-the-trenches win for Ohio State. That won't happen against Alabama on Monday night. But to answer your question, Justin Fields right now, I still think Max and Stephen A. and Molly belongs in the top five on the big board. Some I talked to this week said, you can't put him in the first round right now. You can't have him up there. But that was based on those two games. I said last week he needed, more than any prospect I've probably evaluated in 40 years, a big game against Ohio State, against Clemson. And for Ohio State, Justin Fields came through for the Buckeyes. He needed to. He did. The team won. Great. But for Justin Fields now, I think he's in the discussion to be a top five pick, where without that game, we would have been talking, is he a mid-first? Is he a late-first? Is he a first-rounder? Had he played like an advanced Northwestern and Indiana in that game, that's the discussion we would have had. But the great game he had and the guts he showed and the accuracy and everything we saw last year he showed in that game against Clemson, that's why he's back in the top five of round one.
I'm intrigued by the wide receivers as well, because we talk about Devontae Smith and the likelihood of him winning the Heisman Trophy, how to be highway robbery if he doesn't win the Heisman this particular season. But when we right. look at the wide receiver spot, I'm looking at this kid, Jamar Chase, out of LSU, and they're right there. If I'm looking on your board, I think you've got yep. them ranked like fourth and fifth, if I remember correctly. If I'm wrong, I apologize for that. Mm-hmm. But I want to know, how far apart is Devontae Smith from everybody else at the wideout spot in college football, in your estimation?
See, that's a great question, because it goes to the opt-out. I mean, Jamar Chase opted out. He had a phenomenal season with Joe Burrow, and I don't hold it against him. That's a business decision a lot of these kids made. You saw what happened with LSU this year. So I think you look at Chase. Had he played in a situation like he had last year, he would have probably edged out Devontae Smith. But the fact that he didn't, and Devontae went out and lit it up again, and he didn't have Ruggs and Judy sharing the spotlight, and then Waddle got hurt October 24th on the kick return, and it was all Devontae Smith. The defense had to gear up to stop, and they couldn't. That's why Devontae right now is slightly ahead of Chase. And I think both, it's like Julio Jones, A.J. Green. It's one of those deals, guys, where they're both going to go really high and they're both going to be expected to be great.
Hey, Mel, to bring it back to the Eagles for a second, I think we all assume that the reason they did what they did was they want to improve in the draft. They go from 9-6. Is this the right. kind of draft, even if Roseman were capable of making a perfect pick, where the difference between 9-6 is transformational or even significant?
Micah Parsons, Max, is a linebacker out of Penn State who opted out. And certainly a guy had a great year two seasons ago in 2019, but didn't play this year. But he's the linebacker that would make sense at 6. Where at 9, you're not going to get him. Maybe at 6, you won't either. But at 6, at least he's possibly in play. So I think that's where you look at. Is a cornerback worthy of going at 6? Maybe at 9, but not at 6. So you could maybe move down to the cornerback Patrick Surtain II from Alabama, Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech, who opted out. So I think if you look at the linebacker, maybe at 6, Max, if he's still on the board.
Mel, I know we got to run. I need a quick answer sure. from you on this. How close is Justin Field compared to this guy, Zach Wilson, out of BYU?
Hey, Todd McShay moved Zach Wilson ahead of Justin Fields, and I thought it was premature. I think Todd should have been better served waiting until that game was played. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered to Todd. I'm going to talk to Todd about that today. I can't speak for him, but I wanted to wait it all out. I don't want to make knee-jerk reactions and not allow the process to play out. I still have Fields at 2, Zach Wilson at 3, and Mac Jones is climbing. We'll see what happens on Monday
But they're
night.
That close. They're that close in your estimation.
They're close, yeah. They're close. Wow. Very close, yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Mel, you know why you're the best? Because you're the nicest guy, but you get so feisty and fired up, and I love it. Your passion's just giving me life.
I love talking this stuff.
Giving me
day.
Life. Yeah. I know. We love talking to you, and we're going to keep checking in with you as we get closer to the draft. Mel, stay safe. We'll talk
Happy
to you
New
soon.
Year, guys.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
KD is facing a 7-day quarantine. Durant had the coronavirus back in May, continues to register antibodies, and has tested negative in multiple recent tests, according to sources. The quarantine would put Durant on track to miss 4 games starting Tuesday against the Jazz. The Nets have now won 2 in a row. Meanwhile, the Nets have lost 2 in a row. Meanwhile, the Knicks have won 2 in a row. Now I want to bring in our resident New York fan, the one who's actually loyal. That would be Stephen A. Smith, not Max Kellerman, who jumped ship and moved to L.A. and, became a Lakers fan. You might as well become a Cowboys fan, too, while you're at it, Max. Stephen A., I'll come to you first because, you showed your true colors here. Are you impressed with the Knicks? Are you excited about them?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. Max Kellerman, that's right. I'm very excited. Max, that's right, Max. I don't know if you've noticed, but over the last 5 games, the New York Knicks have won 4 of their last 5. But the Brooklyn Nets have lost 4 of their last 5. Let me tell you something, Max Kellerman. I know the Brooklyn Nets got all the talent. I get it. They got all the talent. But I'm watching Julius Randle here. 22-11-7 on 50% shooting, 40%+ from 3-point range. He's playing like an all-star. That's right, I said it, Max. Julius Randle is playing like an all-star. Did you see Austin Rivers? He's shooting about 46% from 3-point range. He's come off the bench, hit some big shots Saturday night against Indiana, hit a couple of big shots last night against Atlanta. Atlanta's no scrub. In the 4 of those 5 victories, they beat Milwaukee for their first win of the season. Obviously, they beat Cleveland. They beat Indiana, a playoff team. Atlanta has looked pretty good, but struggled against those New York Knicks, who, by the way, Atlanta beat Brooklyn. Now we get to the Brooklyn Nets. Max, KD's averaging 28. He's KD. We all know he's all world. Kyrie's averaging 26. Tell you what I noticed about Brooklyn. I see Kyrie shooting more shots than KD. I see Kyrie shooting definitely more in the fourth quarter than KD. And I see a team that's struggling defensively. And we've got analysts, not me, but we've got others that have called the Nets soft. Plus, you ain't going to have Spencer Dinwiddie. Now, you still got Caris LeVert because that brother can play. And here with Kyrie and KD is a lot to love. But the bottom line is this. There's some trouble in Brooklyn. So it's entirely plausible, Max. It's entirely plausible that the Brooklyn Nets can win 45-plus games out of the 72-game regular season, go to the postseason, and still have a disappointing year because they didn't go to the finals. But the New York Knicks can end up winning about 36 games, being a 500 team, making it to the playoffs, and guess what? They'll be looking up. They've got an upside because nobody's expecting anything from them. And by the way, this dude Quickly out of Kentucky, the brother can play.
Quickly is no joke.
That's right. They got him.
No joke. He can play.
So guess what, Max?
They pulled that draft day trade.
I'm not sold on Obi Toppin, which I told you about. But
I like the effort. Tom Thibodeau got them boys playing hard. They're top five defense in the NBA.
RJ Barrett.
You understand what I'm saying? They're dead last in three-point field goal attempts, but like 11th in percentages made. I'm just looking at the Knicks right now. As hard as he's got them playing, the way that they're competing, I'm pleased, Max. And I wanted to say that. As a native New Yorker and a New York Knicks fan, I am very pleased thus far with the job Tom Thibodeau and his coaching staff has done. I'm happy.
You are, you know, like when you look at the Knicks, why have they been so bad for so long? And I blame Dolan, right? But in fact, Stephen A., I blame you. And I blame people like you. You like, you make fun of Cowboys fans. They get a win, all of a sudden they're going to win the Super Bowl. You're sitting here because the Knicks won a couple games? Because they're playing hard? You say you're more excited about them than the Nets? Let me encapsulate this for you, okay? One team, the Knicks, if they keep this up, will be competing for the play-in. Not the playoffs, the play-in game. The other team, the Nets, will be competing for a championship. Losing Dinwiddie stinks. Because with Dinwiddie, LeVert, Harris, Kyrie, and KD, that's the most unguardable, by far, starting five in the NBA. Losing Dinwiddie hurts, although I always thought he should have been off the bench and LeVert should be in the starting lineup. Nevertheless, the Nets have their two main pillars still. And they will be just fine. You're right, just fine may be underachieving. It may be not winning enough playoff series, but that's where they're heading. The Knicks, meantime, Stephen A., Thibodeau's going to get these dudes to play hard. We already knew that, especially the first couple weeks of the season. Are they still going to be playing hard at the end when they're burnt out, or are they young enough with fresh enough legs to keep it up? Because we know Thibodeau is a demanding coach. He's a very good coach, but he's demanding, and the criticism has been, and I don't think it's been unfounded, some of those teams get worn down by the end. Not everyone is Jimmy Butler.
True.
We'll see. If they don't, they'll be competing for a play-in game. And you have the nerve, what do you call it? The unmitigated gall to come on national television and come out here and talk about you're more excited about the Knicks than the Kyrie Irving, KD Nets.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say more excited. I said I'm very pleased with the Knicks, number one. Number two, I've never talked about the Knicks with a championship. I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan that just wet the bed yet again and go, yo, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? No, I'm not that dude. I'm not that dude. I keep things in its proper perspective. All I'm trying to say is, damn, Max, 1973, bro. 1973, the last time there was a championship. I have suffered. I'm admitting I've suffered. And the fact that there's any kind of silver lining right now has me pleased. Right. I see a culture developing, and I'm kind of happy about it.